The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. It is Friday. On tomorrow, Saturday, we always have a special podcast. Tomorrow we have an amazing millennial, 21-year-old guy, whose goal it is to talk to every World War II veteran he can until they're all gone, which is probably another 10 or 12 years from now. He's an incredible kid.
He's like legitimately one of my favorite guests we've ever had on.
He'll be on tomorrow. You don't want to miss the podcast tomorrow on Saturday. All right, today's podcast, we're talking a little bit about the corruption in Florida. I might have, you know, gone off the deep end there for a little while.
Nah, not too far. Not too far. You were under control,
yeah.
Sort of. Look, you're talking about yet another replay of this Florida thing. I can understand it. We'll go through some of the details of that. I'll start to Bill O'Reilly. He was on today.
He was fascinating.
Yeah.
He was fascinating.
He always has an interesting perspective. And a lot of it ties into his book as well, which is, as you know, probably about the Nazis. So it gets interesting there.
Yeah. And we also touched in the third hour today. You'll hear a piece of it. We touched on how the principles that we all share are being lost on the Democrats. They're not seeing the oppression that is being caused by the people on the Uber left. They're not seeing the harm that is being caused to others. And it's really important, all on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program. It's Friday, November 9th.
Brickhouse Nutrition, they have a great thing called Field of Greens, and it can make it so you get all of your vegetables every day. Get the nutrition things that you know, the nutrition benefits that you need.
Oh, you sound like my wife.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to eat that stuff, Glenn.
I know.
But the good thing is a lot of these superfood products are just like extracts, and they're not the real stuff. This is real food. This is real food from Field of Greens, Brickhouse Nutrition.
Never eat a salad or broccoli again. That's what I like.
It's not in their slogan.
No, it's should be.
BrickhouseGlenn.com is the place to go. Use promo code Glenn. Get 15% off your first order. Again, it's BrickhouseGlenn.com.
It's great.
Experience a better you tomorrow.
Well, I don't know if I've experienced a better me tomorrow, but tomorrow's still yet to come.
Yeah,
so
you have to make sure you use it before.
All I know, I'm happier because I don't have to eat broccoli.
Glenn Beck.
I was in Florida for the 2000 election. I was in Florida during the recount. I was in Florida after the recount. I was in Florida when they said, this will never happen again because we're going to a whole new system. We got this thing down. I was in Florida when I told Florida, if this happens again, we're coming for you. I was in Florida when Florida almost set the whole world on fire. I was in Texas watching Florida, and on Monday saying to Florida, I'm coming down with shovels and a saw, and we're going to dig, and then we're going to saw Florida off from the United States and just let it float into the middle of the ocean. Florida has done it again. Does anyone know what's going on in Broward County? It's been 72 hours, and they're still counting votes. In fact, in Broward County, they came out and said right away how many people came and voted. Then the next day, they came out and said, oh, there's about 10,000 more votes here. Wait a minute, what? Broward County is probably the most technologically advanced and economically developed areas in Florida, but for some reason, I just thought of it, they're probably using Common Core math, where the answer really doesn't matter. But I'd like to see how they got there. The Broward County election supervisor claims that she doesn't even know how many ballots are left to be counted. Could I ask the Broward County election supervisor how that's even possible? Isn't that your one job? You work really one night. One. It's your one job. Now, I don't know if Broward County election supervisor knows this, but literally every other county in the nation reported the results pretty much minute by minute. Not so in Broward County, Florida. Large dumps of voting results are being pushed out at late night hours. And curiously, they always seem to benefit the Democrats. Oh my gosh, look, we just found some more Democratic ballots. To say something is rotten in the county of Broward is being kind. Yesterday morning, a video was released on Twitter showing bags of ballots being transported in private vehicles and then loaded onto rental trucks. Now, is that your standard procedure? Because if it is, I don't think you should have the job. I don't think this is legal. I'd like to ask, where were the, quote, supervisors? Who was maintaining the chain of custody? What the hell was the rental truck for? Who's to say that ballots weren't just taken out and burned and replaced with fakes? There's no one to say this. No one, because no one was supervising. This isn't legal. This is the reason why voting results are delayed and coming in late at night. Because you just had to put it in the back of your Porsche and then take it out to some guys in the back of a truck? I don't know. It kind of seems a little shady. But, hey, the ends justify the means. If we can just get a democratic socialist in there, I'm sure he'll fix it. Probably shouldn't use the word fix when we're talking about voting in Florida. Yesterday afternoon, over 100 ballots were rejected in Miami after finding out the people that voted had voted multiple times. Republican Senate candidate Rick Scott has had enough. He's just filed a lawsuit late last night accusing Florida election officials of hiding information. The lawsuit even suggests that the election supervisor in Palm Beach County illegally used her own judgment. Palm Beach County, I swear to God. I lived in Florida in 2000. Palm Beach County. I'm not a guy who's for, you know, just higgledy-piggledy executions, but I gotta tell you, what the hell is wrong with you? So they apparently their election supervisor took it upon herself just to determine voter intent when reviewing both damaged and incorrectly filled out ballots. So basically she took the ballot and said, I don't know. It looks like they were trying to vote for the Democrat. This is insane. You are the only group of people that could take the hanging chads and make it worse. This appears like legitimate election tampering and fraud. Congratulations, Florida. You just showed that you're no better than countries like Russia. To steal a little bit from the great sage Forrest Gump, corrupt is as corrupt does.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Bill, I want to ask you quickly your thoughts. Have you ever met Ruth Ginsburg?
No, but I knew Antonin Scalia a little bit, and he liked her.
He liked her a lot.
Which was kind of perplexing to me because, you know, Justice Ginsburg made no, you know, she's not a phony. I mean, she basically said, look, I'm ruling on my political beliefs, and the Constitution be damned, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, she said at one point she was using
the moon, but it didn't.
Yeah, at one point she said she was using the South African Constitution to make decisions. But I enjoyed their friendship. It showed that two people that opposed to each other can still be friends, and I thought that was good.
Yeah, and it's a good example. Yeah. But what you didn't report is that while Justice Ginsburg said she was going to use the South African Constitution, she was also listening to the Paul Simon record recorded down there, and you can call me Al.
Bill, let's start with Broward County and Palm Beach
totally
County.
Totally ignores me. I can't believe it. Is that allowed?
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. It is. let's talk about voter fraud. Do you believe voter fraud is happening? How does this play out? What should the government do?
Complicated issue because, you know, Broward County is a problem, always has been historically, very, very locked up Democrat. And then all of a sudden we're getting a ton of votes out of Broward County, as Trump just pointed out about 10 minutes ago in a little press conference he had before he got on the plane to go to Paris. And you got Arizona, too. You know, these ballots are coming and going. And look, we have a Federal Elections Commission. We have the FBI. And I think you got to hand over all the stuff to it and let the federal oversight kick in.
Well, unfortunately, you know, they've done a number on the FBI, so we don't really have the FBI that is, you know, got a lot of confidence with people.
I still think that they're competent in doing things like that. I mean, they
came up too
real fast catching the bomber. And you know, I mean, look, if there's any whiff, then the FBI has got to go down, take it away from the state people right away.
You have,
doesn't that make sense?
You have Dr. Brenda Snipes, who is the you know, election commissioner. It's her job to do this. In 2016, she got into trouble for throwing away ballots. The judge said she violated federal and state laws on the ballots. But Broward County didn't do anything about it. I mean,
no, because it's, you know, I don't know whether you know that area. I know it pretty well. And it's just locked tight.
Well, it is. I know
Democrats top to bottom.
It is the county that with Stoneman Douglas in it. And we know that they didn't do anything for the people on the school board who were obviously, you know, had hinky things going on with the shooting. The sheriff, Scott Israel, he's still the sheriff today. How can you expect anything not to be corrupt? I mean, if I'm working in the ballot and I tend to be a corrupt person, and I see what just happened, and nobody did anything to Scott Israel, nobody really did anything except blame the right, what makes you think that anybody's going to say anything about you if you fix the ballot?
Well, look, speculation is not really useful here. I think that we have a new attorney general, acting attorney general. Trump mentioned it before he got on his plane today. And I believe that the FBI will be down there very quickly in Broward County, Florida.
Tell me about the new attorney general, because that also now is something that the Democrats are saying, you know, we don't accept him. He's this is probably an impeachable offense, yada, yada, yada. Tell me about him and what you think about Jeff Sessions leaving.
Beck, I got to tell you, I just don't even bother with the partisan gibberish anymore. I really don't. I'm so busy with really important stories and trying to accumulate facts that when these people say this stupid stuff, look, Whitaker is a guy who was entrenched in the Justice Department under Sessions. He knows what's happening. So he would be the logical guy that anybody would appoint, correct?
Yes.
So you just, the apparatus in the Justice Department continues to roll because you put a guy in who knows what's happening. And then a few months from now, you nominate who you believe should be the new attorney general. So it makes perfect sense. Now, Whitaker is on record as saying that he didn't believe the Hillary Clinton investigation was conducted properly. I believe that will be proven beyond a reasonable doubt by the Inspector General's report that's going to come out soon. He's also, you know, skeptical about power given to Robert Mueller and other special prosecutors, as anybody should be. All right, so I don't see any problem with him, number one.
Well, hang on just a sec. Wait. Remember that Joe Manchin, who, you know, was supposed to be this guy who was going to, you know, kind of, you know, he was going to come from both, you know, both sides. He's the guy who came out yesterday and was talking about impeachment for the president because of what's because of this.
Yeah, somebody teed him off in the Trump administration. That's all personal.
Okay.
Somebody did something. So Manchin is really, now that he won, it's scorched earth.
Yeah.
Sessions looked befuddled in the job from day one.
Mm-hmm.
I said on many different issues, where's the attorney general? Why isn't he taking a more aggressive posture, i.e. sanctuary cities?
Mm-hmm.
All of that. He just, you know, when you're a senator or a congressperson, part of your job, and sometimes all of your job, is being diplomatic and trying to raise money and trying to be backslap and schmoozerama and all of this. That's not what Elliot Ness should be doing. You know, he's supposed to kick doors down and get bad guys. That's the kind of attorney general I would like.
Any speculation?
That's why, like, Bobby Kennedy is an attorney general. That guy, no prisoners,
no,
man.
No, he was great. He was great.
He went after you.
So
Jeff Sessions was, I just don't know. I might, maybe. Come on.
So who do you think it might be? Chris Christie is speculation.
Of course, that's
Lindsey Graham.
And as soon as I said it, everybody said it. I said on BillO'Reilly.com on Wednesday, it's going to be Chris Christie. And then Thursday, everybody said it. Because Christie is owed. Trump owes him. And Trump even said it today in his little impromptu press conference. So that's, if you're going to place a bet, that's what you place your bet on.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know. You know, Chrissy, a tough guy.
Yeah, I know.
You know, tough guy.
I know, right?
You know?
Yeah. I don't know if I want
really
my chief.
Run the state of New Jersey that well.
Yeah, yeah.
Justice Department, big thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't like, you know, I feel the same way about Rudy Giuliani, and I like Rudy Giuliani. But, you know, I don't want a guy who you're like, hey, how come Bill's not in this meeting? Shh, don't ask that question. Don't
yeah,
ever
but
ask about
Giuliani did a real
again.
Good job with law enforcement in New York City, though. Keep that in mind.
No, I
don't think he's going to in play.
No.
I don't think he's going to get it.
No.
But boy, oh boy, did he clean up New York City.
Welcome back to the program. It is Friday, and Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com joins us. Let me take you to what happened in front of Tucker Carlson's house. Can we play the audio, please? This is what we believe to be Antifa surrounding his house at night, scaring the life out of his wife. Here we go.
We might need to know. We know where you sleep at night.
We know where you sleep at night.
Bill O'Reilly, who has had his share of threats as well, nothing like this that I know of, Bill. How do you respond to this?
No, I had some intrusions. I didn't make them public because of children.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to have actual armed guards sleep inside my house.
I've had that, too. Is there anything worse on your family than having to have?
No.
I've had armed guards sleeping at the doors of our bedrooms.
You know, one of the reasons that I don't regret leaving Fox News is because I don't have to deal with that anymore. And I had to deal with it every day of my life.
Yeah.
For 16 years, once we became number one. The first four, when we were coming up, I didn't have to deal with it that much. But once we became successful, then the threats came every direction.
Yeah.
Every direction, every day. So, you know, I recommended on my website that Tucker Carlson file charges and also still sue civilly. And that's the only way it's going to stop.
I found it interesting that Antifa, that has been accused of being the group here, Antifa, their Twitter feed was suspended. They're not permanently banned. They were suspended by Twitter.
Well, look, whoever did it, deserves to be punished, and I didn't hear anybody condone it. Even the far left loons aren't condoning it. I will tell you that this is exactly what happened in the late 1920s, 1930s in Germany. Exactly. There's no difference.
Also happened in 1919 here in America, and in the mid 30s here in America as well.
But not to the extent.
No, fear paralyzed them.
Beck, if these people aren't punished, then this is going to escalate to where, as you said, somebody's going to get killed or badly hurt.
We're headed to 1968. Let me play that audio again, just real quick. Play the beginning of that audio, please.
We know where you sleep at night.
Stop. That individual, Tucker Carlson said, was on his show recently, and he said he recognized the voice. I had two people tell me last night that they also recognized the voice. This is before Tucker said anything. And they said this guy was just on Tucker's show.
Yeah.
You can take that audio and they can voice print that. We will find out who that guy was if he's in the public eye.
Yeah, and if the D.C. police investigate it. But everybody's watching now. Whole country's watching. And, you know, Mr. Carlson himself is, I would absolutely file a lawsuit against these people for putting my family in danger.
Bill, we talked about this earlier this week, and it kind of goes here. What we saw in the original vote, I don't know how it's going to turn out now, was that the American people turned down the real strident right in Romney counties, and they turned down the crazy left all across the country, which told me that we have a big portion of America that is just not interested in this kind of fight. Do you agree with that?
I think they fear these people, these kinds of real committed zealots who will stop at nothing to advance their political agenda. I think they're feared by independent Americans who say this isn't our country, this is not what we want. And there's an article today in the Wall Street Journal that Elizabeth Warren has finished. I believe that to be true. I don't think the Democratic Party can go with Bernie Sanders or any of these far, far left people. They got to go moderate.
So let's talk about that. I also want to talk to you about Acosta and the shooting in Thousand Oaks, California. And I kind of like to tie that to, again, Germany in your book. We're with Bill O'Reilly. I've got three topics I need to cover here in the next 10 minutes, so we want to move quickly. But, Bill, first of all, let me ask you about Elizabeth Warren. You said you thought she was done because she was too far left. Would you include Cory Booker and Spartacus in that and Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, and Gillibrand and... the Senator Kamala Harris from California, that whole crew that's trying to sell, you know, socialized medicine, high corporate taxation, high personal taxation, they just can't win.
What do you think? What do you think about Michelle Obama starting to move in? She's just doing a lot of things that just seem presidential.
Yeah, but Jack, you know why she's doing that. She wants to displace Killing the SS as the number one book in the country. Her book comes out next week.
I know that.
Exactly.
But do you think she's a possibility of a candidate?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Have the heart for that.
Let me go to Jim Acosta.
Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning. Your thoughts.
All right. I wrote a column on BillO'Reilly.com, which gets into it, and I don't have time on the Beck program. It is far more important guest than me to really get into the micro of it. But if you want to know, BillO'Reilly.com has a column. Acosta's job, Beck, as you know, is to get information to the people that watch CNN. So on a presidential press conference, his job is to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Not what he does. He makes statements.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tries to provoke a response. Not get a response that would be helpful to CNN viewers and would up their information flow. No. He basically says, you know, you call the caravan an invasion. We know that's not true. You know that's not true. I mean, and you're looking at it going, all right, so you just attacked the president of the United States and insinuated he's a liar or that he's incompetent, doesn't know what an invasion is. That's not what a reporter does. Now, if they want CNN wants to give Acosta a primetime opinion show, good. Their ratings are so low, he couldn't do much worse. But he's a White House correspondent. So that's out of line. And then when the president of the United States, and I've interviewed five of them, says, sit down.
You sit down. So because the only thing that happens after that is chaos. I mean, what does the president do?
Yeah, and that's what they want.
Correct. That's exactly what they want. Right. Here's the problem with the rest of the press corps. They supported him.
We've gone
correct.
Over this.
I know they supported him, and CNN is the worst offender of this. They should have suspended him. Apologize.
They ordered him to do it.
I know they're not going to do that. So,
but they ordered him to do it.
Oh, I agree with you.
That's how they make their money.
Correct.
See, look, once Trump was president 2 years ago, once he won, then the media chieftains basically sat down and said, okay, we're embarrassed. We tried to destroy him. He won anyway. Let's make money out of it. So MSNBC under the Comcast banner, CNN under Time Warner, basically told their people, get him. Don't report on him. Get him. And then the Fox people, in response to that, basically sent out a message, we're going to support Trump. So that all the Trump supporters watch Fox, and all the Trump haters divide themselves between the other two on cable news.
Okay, I understand that. What I want to ask you is what?
Yes.
I do not want the president picking and choosing who's going to be in the press corps, but I cannot think of anything because he's already tried not to call on.
There has to be standards.
Right. So what is the president to do other than what
he
did?
Not the president, but the White House Communications Office is to issue standards. That when the president says sit down and that's the end of the questioning, you sit down and shut up. That's the rule. And if they issue that so everybody knows what the rules are, it'll be a lot easier to enforce the rules. That's what I would do.
Do you think CNN is going to abide by those?
But it doesn't matter because if they don't, then they're
out.
Banished.
Okay. Let me move to Thousand Oaks, California. They've got a double whammy happening now. They've got another wildfire in California.
Yeah.
And they had this killer go on a rampage. First of all, before I get into the aftermath of that, any thoughts on that?
My analysis on the shooting in the bar is the same as it was in the synagogue shooting, the church in Charleston, and the high school in Broward County, Florida. The men that have done this have one thing in common. They are isolated from society. They are loners. They live on the internet. They are emotionally disturbed individuals who, in the 1950s and 60s, when you and I grew up, would have been isolated by society. People would have seen their behavior outside. Now you don't have to go outside. Okay? You can live on this machine and talk to other people as screwed up as you are. And then finally, when you look around and see your life means nothing and you don't believe in anything, you have no relationships with anybody, then you say, I want to end it, but I'm going to take people with me. All right? And that's what happens. It's the same scenario over and over and over.
There is a really powerful video that is out of this mother whose son was not killed in Vegas, but was there, survived, and then was killed here. And you can understand what she's saying because, you know, her son was just killed. And
right.
She's saying, I want gun control. Now, it's not appropriate to talk to the mom about this at this point, but California has the strictest gun control in the nation.
What they're really saying is we want gun ban, not gun control, because gun control is already established legally. It's already there. they want banned on guns. Okay, so anybody possessing a gun, you have to give it up or we arrest you. That's what the left wants. Okay, they want to disarm the entire population, particularly with handguns and AKs, things like that. That's where they're going with this. So gun control is impossible. Mm-hmm. Criminals will always get guns. They don't abide by the law anyway.
And a gun,
so
a
what
gun
they want is a complete, total ban.
And
when you hear that, that's what they're talking
right.
about.
Right, and the ban will work out even worse because the
sure,
only
it leaves people defenseless.
Yes.
If you're in a rural part of America, I mean, they would let you have a rifle. They wouldn't take hunting rifles away. But if you want to protect yourself with a handgun in a dangerous neighborhood, they would absolutely take your right away if they could.
Let me go to two pieces of audio here. I want your comments. First is Chris Cuomo last night, and then it's followed by Chris Matthews. Listen.
The only consensus there is in a canard, and here it is. First, I would like to offer my thoughts and prayers, because that's what you do when you offer thoughts and prayers. You mock those who lost loved ones, because if you gave it any thought at all, you would never walk away from any of these without figuring out a better way to deal with them.
Okay, stop now. Let me... talking about mock. Now, let me play Chris Matthews.
And what do we do?
We do it because somebody's a nut, or this guy, a nut has a gun with a nut with a gun, whatever it is, somebody with an attitude, a bad life experience, whatever it is. The easiness with which you get a semi-automatic Glock, which is a beep, 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 beep. It doesn't take any intelligence or skill or talent to use one of these guns to just kill people in their
really?
Face. And they're doing it now with some rapidity in this country.
So, you're right. The moments of silence are about all that Congress has the guts to do, and it's not good enough. You know,
you mean thoughts and prayers?
Yes, thoughts
I'm sorry,
and prayers.
That should be
yeah.
outlawed. I know it's well-intended in some cases,
well,
but
no,
usually
it's
a throwaway line by a staffer who knocks
Stop.
Off some script. Some
Bill O'Reilly mocking yeah. thoughts and prayers and then
sure.
calling for it to be outlawed.
Look, Cuomo and Matthews play to a crew, all right? That's the only people who watch them. You don't get discretionary viewing with Chris Cuomo and Chris Matthews. The crew is largely secular, doesn't really believe in religion to any meaningful extent. And I'm generalizing now,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Yeah.
All right? So prayers and thoughts to that crew, that's like a waste of time. And then the overall message that they send is what I just told you. Both of these individuals want gun bans. They won't say that because that becomes an extreme position. They can get in a lot of trouble, so they'll never, but they'll code it. They speak in code. The cliche is dog whistles, you know, that ridiculous mm-hmm. phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look and step back and see what really drives this mass murder, it's how we are living in America. It's how we are living. But we're a free society, and there's no solution to that. So you can live the way you want to live unless you break the law. And what happens is these people, they get so isolated, so desperate, so hopeless, they decide, I'm leaving the planet, and I'm taking people with me. And that's it. And you're not going to stop that no matter what you do. I'm sorry, but it's impossible to stop it.
Bill, any thoughts on, you know, you just finished all your research with the SS. We are silencing voices. We are, you know, talking about, you know, banning guns. We're talking about banning speech, intimidation. You have Antifa on the street, which is, you know, our American version now of the brown shirts. Any thoughts to leave us with?
Well, I don't think that what happened in Nazi Germany can happen here. We have too much structure to prevent that. I do believe that we are heading the United States into a period of time where hatred is overwhelming the public discourse, and that did happen in Germany, and that led to power being distributed to the Nazis, who then used the power to exterminate people. That was the SS, was the arm of that. Okay, that's not going to happen here. But the hatred is going to cause people to be harmed. It is. And we have to, we commentators, you, me, and the other sane people with radio and television exposure, have to keep pointing that out. And look, we got to tamp the hatred down, and we've got to recognize evil, and all of us have to collectively fight evil, which is the theme of Killing the SS. And that is our responsibility to do that, not ridiculously inflame the hatred, which is what you're seeing now in much of the media.
Bill O'Reilly, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
We are a nation that is... We're segregating each other. We are in segregation, self-segregation. You believe one way, you live here. You believe another way, you live here. And segregation is not good. It is normal to self-segregate, but we are now segregating ourselves online too. So all of our opinions, we're only comfortable with the ones that we think are on our side, because everything has been made into a war. Ideas are what we should be looking for. We need to challenge our own belief. Now, studies show that conservatives are actually better at this than liberals. If you go to, you know, you go to a barbecue and you start talking about, for the most part, and this may be changing, and it's bad if it does. If you go to a barbecue and there's a bunch of conservatives there and you start spouting liberal ideas, but you're decent about it, most likely you'll have a lot of people who will engage you on that and talk to you about it and want to know your point of view, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing with religion. If you go and you're a jerk, that's different. You go into a cocktail party on Madison Avenue or on Central Park West, and you start talking about, well, I don't know. I mean, Donald Trump has done some good things. You are not going to have a pleasant night. That's a problem. That is a problem. Good at, good at examining other people's ideas, not so good at examining their own ideas and their own, and being self-reflective. And that's what we need to work on, is being more self-reflective and having these conversations, and not necessarily, you know, let me read a bit of what I wrote in the book Addicted to Outrage, which also fits today, what I wrote about Samantha Bee. There is a chapter in here about Samantha Bee and about why I did what I did with Samantha Bee and how it worked out. And I just want to read... I just want to read just part of it. Most people outside my audience don't know this, but I used to be funny. In fact, early in my talk radio career, stations weren't sure they wanted a funny, not all political talk show on before Rush Limbaugh. I traveled a ton, and I would do 40 city comedy tours every year. Then when we went to Iraq, which I had supported, but later when I saw we really didn't have a plan that would work, I soured. But I began to understand the Patriot Act was anything but patriotic. I saw the Republicans betray everything that they said they believed in. The economy collapsed, and I saw us abandon the free market to save the free market. I, too, wanted hope and change, just not from the guy who had been a good friend of Jeremiah Wright and was an active member of his church. Things began to change for me, and I knew we had to, and I knew how to draw a crowd, how to make people laugh. But it was important to me to expose and convince the country that many Americans were horribly and dangerously wrong. It became a mission, and when that happens, your world changes. I explained to Sam my journey, my mistakes, and my regrets. I think for perhaps the first time, she had a little understanding of me and what I had tried to do. Perhaps not. If, in fact, she didn't, explains the path that she took. Now, this is, I'm talking about a I'm talking about a private conversation that we had in a dressing room. I'm only exposing it because I want you to understand. I want you to understand how this happens to all of us, and only the honest will be able to get out of it. CNN will not be able to get out of the Jim Acosta spiral, death spiral, because they are not being honest. They are not honest brokers, in my opinion. I told her that an audience that she would get would cheer and would grow the more she took on the king, whoever that king would be. The more she fed their outrage with her coverage, the more they would cheer. But in the end, even though she said she was not doing it for ratings, because, and I believed her on this, she honestly had something to say that she thought would help, she would end up doing damage that she didn't recognize at the time that would divide us even further, even if it wasn't her intent. I tried to explain how I really believed, and in some ways still really believe, that I was acting as a pressure valve, relieving steam that my own side needed released. I make no apologies for that. I believe it. What I hadn't seen is that by making my own side laugh, I was also inflicting deep wounds on the other half. Those wounds she would also inflict, and she would, as time goes by, regret them more and more. Because I believe she was smart and deeply compassionate, who happens to be tasked with making her tribe laugh, and at the same time being an activist for what she believes in, I saw trouble. This is a new territory for most. People who can do it are paid a great deal of money and are encouraged by those who pay them to keep going. Don't give up. Go get them, because it will mean eyeballs and ratings. She asked me, so how do I do it? I'm paraphrasing. I told her I'm not a comedian, but an opinion guy who moonlighted at being funny on the side. But if I had to do it all over again, with the knowledge I have now, I would probably end up mostly doing the same way I did the first time, with a few exceptions. I told her, as a student of history, I hadn't found any examples of anyone in the media, comedy, etc., who had ever charted a successful course through these waters. A few weeks later, I called her to discuss coming with me to Detroit to do a service project together, with the caveat that our audiences were not allowed to talk politics. We would then end a weekend at some theater and discuss what our audiences learned about the other side, working side by side. She said, I don't know how I can make that funny. My next suggestion a few months later was come with me to Asia or Africa and rescue slave children. She said, that's even harder to make funny. I said, the funny is you being locked in a plane with me at 40,000 feet with nothing but ocean underneath for 8 to 12 hours. She didn't take me up on the offer. The more and more I saw her clips and her stories, the more worried I became for her. She had chosen a course, or perhaps like me, it was the only one she knew or understood how to work, and it was the path that I felt she would soon regret. When she finally called Ivanka the C-word, I cringed. It was her Obama is a racist moment, but unlike that moment for me, this was scripted and she meant it. It was planned and approved in a comedy room and by producers. Somehow this feminist had gotten to the point of calling another woman a name that even Donald Trump hadn't used, at least in public, when he described where celebrities could grab women. It was degrading and an insult when he referred to that as locker room talk, but without justifying it at all, it is who he is, and you don't change when you're successful, because you have no motive to change. Everything's working. What's more, everyone around you at the time is incentivized to boost you up, to empower and enable you to go even further. No one around Trump or B provided any kind of real pushback. They had surrounded themselves with like-minded people who had seen success and provided no help to the talent or the person, because that was all part of what made them successful. You're seeing this now with the Democrats. You're seeing this now with CNN. No one at CNN is going to tell Jim Acosta to stop. No one is going to tell him that, because they see this as, oh, he's the guy going after Trump. He's the nemesis of Trump. That makes us the other side, the opposing side, when it comes to Trump. Not seeing that everything they accused me of or Fox of during the Obama years is exactly what they're doing now, except to the 10th power. Remember, I was called on the carpet by Fox for saying that. Bill O'Reilly had me in his studio and asked me about that. He did not agree with me. They didn't all say, you know what, Glenn Beck's right, and jump on the bandwagon. None of them did. None of them did. But this is why, this is what CNN is doing now. They're jumping into the boat, calling the president racist. They're jumping into the boat saying, yep, we can treat this president any way we want in press conferences. And this is going to be their destruction. They're not, you know, I've always thought, I'll tell you a story some other time. I thought at one point, you know, these people are just enemies of mine. And in prayer, I strongly felt, no, they're not. How dare you? They're enemies of freedom, and they're mine to deal with, not yours. Don't deal with them. You do what you do. You do what is right. And they're not an enemy of yours. They're an enemy of man's freedom. And I will deal with it. Okay. If there's no humility, and you are so convinced that this person is your enemy, or the enemy of all mankind, and it is on your shoulders to do it, and only you can do it, only we can do it if we band together, you can head into really dangerous waters quickly. They still pillory me for, the Washington Post today has a story out where they're pillorying me for conspiracy theories. You mean like the caliphate? You mean like Benghazi? Really? Because those turned out to be right. You mean like an economic collapse? Because you're all saying that's coming now. I'm just always wrong on timing. You mean like when I said it was going to be 1968 and there would be assassinations? Because we've already had people shot and we are coming into even worse things. What part of the conspiracy are you still harping on? While at the same time, you're floating all kinds of conspiracies about this president. We have to stand out and be different because more and more people are going to be really angry. And gosh, it almost doesn't matter what they do anymore. Really almost doesn't matter what they do. It only matters on how we react to it. And that was one thing my father taught me that really pissed me off. No, I didn't make you mad, son. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. You're making you mad. What? Your emotions are your choice. Okay, Spock, have a seat. But it is true. Life is not what happens to you. Life is how you deal with it. And you are either going to be crippled by it. It's like, why don't I don't want to play the woman today from A Thousand Oaks, the woman who lost her son. He had gone through the shooting over in Vegas and survived and then came home and was now shot at A Thousand Oaks shooting. I mean, that is just tragic. And I can understand how she just doesn't want any. She didn't want anything. She didn't want to hear about God. She didn't want to hear about thoughts and prayers. She just wants gun control. She wants them all off the streets. I'm not playing that because of what she said, but it's because of the emotion. I can understand how she feels, but we don't ever make any good decisions when we're motivated by anger or deep emotion.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.